session with 32502, Reel 1.
Tony, we're at Reel 1. Tony, can you tell me where and when you were born, please?
Yeah, I was born in Ipswich, in 1991 in Ipswich Hospital.
Can you tell me about your family?
Yeah, I come from a family where I had four brothers, two of which are in the army. One's in the Paris, one's in the engineers. My other brother lives in Scotland with my mum and my stepdad. Don't know my real father. I've met him a couple of times, but that's about it.
Where did the interest in the army come from?
It came from my granddad. I used to sit around and listen to his stories because he'd done a national service, obviously, back in the day. Just got intrigued with the stories, really. And then after school, I didn't do too great at school. Didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I just spoke to him a bit more and then decided to go down to Ipswich Careers and sign up from there and see how it went.
Did you go straight in after leaving school or from school?
I worked for about a year after school, just odd jobs like labouring and stuff, anything I could find really, just to get a bit of cash and stuff, and then I went straight in from there.
And did you have a choice of, you know, what regiment you wanted at that time, or did you have any idea where you went to go?
Just sign up for the Royal Signals, but MVQs was supposed to be a C in maths, and I believe a C in English to actually join up for that. I didn't have their marks, so I looked at other stuff, like my options after I'd done my bar test, like the entrance test and stuff, and then I got speaking to a few guys down there who had joined up with the Anglians, and a sergeant actually down in the careers office was a friend of the family's, and he was a sergeant, so he said, well, come along to the Anglians and see how we go from there. So I thought, okay, infantry, I'll give it a go. I've heard a lot of stories about the infantry and how good it is, and like the challenge and like the hard work and going away and stuff, and I thought, yeah, it's probably more me than being a Royal Signal.
So when was that, Tony? When were you joining up?
I enlisted in 98, near to 99.
And what's the first thing after, obviously, you've done your bar test and you've got selected? What's the first part of your training that you get involved in?
That's me.
Is it phase one you go through to?
Yeah, phase one. I've done it in Bassingbourne in Cambridge. I started that in 99, November 99 I started that. First week's usually just getting into the role of things. You get issued, obviously, all your kit and stuff. You get shown how to do your basics, like iron, to shape your berets, to put your webbing and stuff together. You get shown everything from basics and stuff, and that's like the second week. You do like your fitness tests as well.
What's expected of you with fitness at that level?
To be able to pass a BPFA within 10 minutes, and be able to do at least 55 press-ups, I believe, and 60 sit-ups. That was when I joined up anyway.
And how were your levels of fitness at that stage?
Good, quite good. I was quite a sporting person before I joined up anyway. I was not playing my football and stuff like that. And when I did sign up, I had a couple of months before you actually go into your training, so just practiced, just going out running and stuff and just press ups and sit ups on my own steam and stuff like that.
So you prepared yourself really for what you thought would come in training?
Yeah, I thought I was going to prepare myself. So I know you have to do the entrance test. I mean, you come down to Pirbright, obviously in Surrey, and I've done 2 days there, which you then get selected from that. If you pass that and you have the interview, everything goes well there, you then swear your allegiance, and then you start your phase one training straight away. But usually the first week's fitness tests and stuff, and just a general break into using the kit and stuff like that.
You know when you say you're sure not to do things, who's instructing you at that stage?
The instructor's name?
Well, who are they?
Well, they're just section commanders. The one I had was a Royal Engineer. You usually have four sections and you all split up in your different rooms, and then you have section commanders, which are the equivalent of a full corporal. They're basically the people you go to with any problems and stuff, and they're the people that will show you everything. That's your first point of contact in the chain of command.
And are they helpful to you at that stage?
Yeah, they were. Well, I remember when I joined up, that was a while ago, but yeah, I remember the first day and stuff. I mean, you're going in blind, you don't know a lot, unless you've done cadets and that stuff before, but I hadn't, so they explain everything in good terms. You understand, everyone understands and stuff. That's why that week is just really slow, and they just go from the basics and just tell you everything. like I said, even show you how to iron and stuff and how to lay stuff out properly and stuff like that. Yeah.
And what do you move on to from that first week? Because obviously that's just getting an induction to the army life, isn't it, really?
Second week, and like probably up to week five, you'll start your drill phase and stuff, learning how to march and stuff. So you'll just be going around camp for an hour or so to have you marching and stuff and halting and stuff like that. Lessons like that, your first lessons on the rifle and stuff, just learning the basics and stuff like that.
So when you say learning the basics, to what level is that really? Is it taking it apart? Is it
taking it apart, learning how to check it, like what we call like NSPs, to make sure it's safe and stuff before using the weapon system itself. The general knowledge side of it as well, like the characteristics of it, what part does what and stuff, the ranges of it and stuff, and how many rounds you can fire from it and stuff like that. So it's just the basics. It takes you up, like, up to the fifth week, you've got a pretty good knowledge of the rifle and weapon system.
Are you being continually tested on that as well?
Yeah. Every, like, I think, every, like, couple of... You may have, like, rifle lessons twice a week. So obviously you've got to learn a lot about the weapon system before you can fire it. You need to know the ins and the outs and the safety part of it and stuff as well. So you do all that up to week five. Once you get to week five, you'll know everything about it and stuff. You'll know how to take it apart, how to put it back together, how to load up a magazine as well, and how to correctly hold the weapon in the right position and stuff when you fire and stuff like that.
What happens at week five?
Week five, if you do a lot of mini drill pass off, you'll go home for a week or so, or 2 weeks maybe. It's 2 weeks because mine's coming up to Christmas. After that, you come back week five, then it gets a bit more intense. Obviously, you do your tabs. Like, you usually break it in, usually about a 5mm tab and stuff like that.
Is that graded up as well? Do you start out on a shorter route, shorter distances?
Yeah, as I mentioned, like in the first week, you'll do like a 2mm tab. And obviously, they'll build that up for your 8miler, which is an infantry test. CFT. You start to go on the ranges as well. You'll zero the weapons, zero the sight to you and stuff like that. Which gets a bit more intense. Fitness increases more and stuff. And the lessons, you start doing more lessons on more infantry stuff like that, and basic army stuff like signals. You'll sit in classrooms and you'll do lessons on the phonetic alphabet and 24-hour clock and all that sort of stuff. That's the way the army works these days. The phonetic alphabet and 24-hour clock. You do stuff like that, so it gets a bit more in depth to what the actual army is like.
And with your tabs, are you increasing the weight load that you're carrying as well?
Yeah. Start off light. They'll start off with like, I don't know, could be something as light as 10 kilograms or 10 k's weight, and that'll gradually build up. And the weight you tab with, like on the basic infantry test, is I believe it's 20 kilograms, which is the equivalent of with your weapon and helmet and stuff, it's the equivalent of a 50-pound tab. So yeah, but you obviously get broken up, and it'll do that in stages. It'll start at 2 miles, then it'll go on to probably 3, and then on to 4, 5, and then I think after the 5-mile tab, you'll then start doing, like you'll do the 8-mile CFT.
So it's a constant upgrading of your skills and your fitness and all that sort of stuff, is it, through that phase two period?
Yeah.
Is there any other weapons that you introduced to in the kind of phase two period?
Not at that point, it went until we got moved up to cavalry. I remember we're in Bassingbourne, it was just basic. That's just basic training, so it'll teach you up to the weapon, like the SA-8. And I remember they gave us stories and called bayonet as well. But that was it. There was nothing else, like no other weapon systems, until actually we moved on from there.
So at what point did you move on to Catterick? Was that really?
Yeah. So after I finished my I'd actually done 12 weeks in Bassingbourne, had a couple of weeks off. I moved up to Catterick in springtime, early spring, something like that.
So that's been 2000?
Yeah, spring 2000. Moved up the Catterick. You stay as a section, like we were in Bassingbourne, like the whole platoon, like we were Minden platoon in Bassingbourne. We moved up the Catterick, but you stay together as a whole platoon, so you know each other still. They don't split you up, so you have to get to know other people. So you still know each other. You can stay in the same sections as well. So everyone knows everyone, so it's all good. There it's not so bad. I mean, they're more lenient with you. They know you pass your basics, training and stuff. Now Catterick's, and ITC Catterick's all infantry training. This is where you put all the meat into practice, if you like.
So is this where you're going to get your basic skills that you've used through the rest of your service?
This is your infantry skills now. This is where they go into different weapon systems. More live firing and stuff like that. You get to do a lot more live firing and stuff, and more exercises and stuff like going away, putting everything into practice and stuff. And you even do stuff like bayonet training and stuff like that. So they teach you all that sort of good stuff.
As a potential infantryman at that stage, what were those weapons that they were introducing you to there, other than the rifle?
The GPMG, the General Purpose Machine Gun, the big machine gun that's been around for quite a few years now. You get to learn the ins and outs of that. You get to live fire it as well. It's only like 25 metre range, you fire like 20 rounds, but just to give you an insight of what your weapon system does. You learn about the L40H grenade as well. You get to throw that as well, which is always good fun.
Tell me about that. Tell me about throwing that.
I remember being on the range. I remember everyone was nervous and stuff, because we've heard stories before. There was an accident there before and stuff. So we're all panicking and stuff like that. Because you get taught it in the classroom. But when you're out there, you've got to prime the grenade yourself. You've got to prime it yourself, so you're twisting it and stuff. And your hands are probably shaking and stuff like that. And you're clamming up and sweating and stuff like that. But then you get to throw it, and then they just pull you down behind the wall. It's well protected and stuff, of course. But yeah, that's good fun. Once you've done it, you're buzzing and stuff. But the build up to it, some people you can see a lot of nervous faces, but it's just because of the stories. I don't know how much of that is true, but yeah.
How are you just into army life at that stage yourself? Were you enjoying it at that stage?
Yeah, I was loving it. It's just great. It's just so different to if I stayed on Super Street and stuff. Just like the challenges you get given and stuff like that, and the friends you start making in training, this is just really good. I mean, you come close to them, they're family more than friends. Started getting into the swing of things, started understanding more of the kit and stuff like that. Fitness was increasing, which was always good. From that point, the character was this is really good. I had my doubts when I was in training in basketball.
Why was that?
It was just probably getting into the swing of things. The first time I've left home, I think, now I've got to start fending for myself. Now I've got to start doing everything myself instead of relying on the parents and stuff,
You were obviously getting into it, but during that period, are the people who just can't adjust to the lifestyle?
There was a couple. I remember there was a couple. I don't know where they'll be this day and age, but they actually stayed and done all the training and passed out. But there was a couple of people at the point who were this is not for me, this is crap and stuff like that. I think they let them get on top of them. So obviously you're doing all your training and stuff, and then obviously sometimes at night and stuff you can have locker inspections and stuff like that, but it's just to teach yourself discipline, So there's people there, having a changing heart, but just talk to them, just come into a side and say, look, mate, come on, just crack on with a couple more weeks and then that's you can go off to your unit.
Were you aware that the situation would probably change as you got to a unit, that it'd be more relaxed or it would be...
Yeah, had a few people come in, I think it was Bassingbourne. The sergeant that recruited me came and saw how the people got on and stuff, so that was always good. He'd come down and say, how are you getting on, mate, and stuff like that. Yeah, good. Good sergeant and stuff like that. Once you've done this, everything will then relax. So when you get to the battalion, it's such a better life. And you hear the stories from everyone, even my section commander and captain was once you get to your battalion, mate, things will relax. You have a lot of downtime. Yeah, you still work hard and stuff, but then you've got good mates and stuff like that. You go away to places like adventure training and stuff. Things were looking up a lot better to the people that had a change of heart. So they're not going to get to a Italy and go away to Cyprus and do adventure training and stuff like that. And so
you mentioned the inspections. What are they like?
To me, I thought they were funny, you know? Like, to be like, okay, right, you're there, probably, they're giving you a bit of warning, they'll say, okay, right, we can do a lock inspection tomorrow, so you've got all tonight to do your kit. Well, we've just done training today, we've got to do the kit. You stay there for hours, ironing your kit, polishing your boots, getting everything, like, centralised and everything looking sharp and stuff. Me, at that point, I was just doing my kit, the basics. I weren't putting, like, loads of effort in, because I knew, as soon as they come round, doesn't matter how good your locker is, they grab the kit, they chuck it on the floor, they'll push your locker over and stuff. They don't care, you know, they've just done that, but they do it for self-discipline, and they do it as well for a bit of, like, like banter, a laugh and stuff as well. You just got to tell you, you've got to laugh and go, oh well, never mind.
So you you could never be right, really, no matter how hard you work, there's no way you could ever really be right.
They'll probably just pass and just chuck a bit out, and then other people, they'll probably just break it down, like, okay, we'll just chuck this bit of kit, ears will just launch out and stuff. So at that point, like, you get all your stuff launched out, and I'm all in my head and thinking, well, I don't care, I'm just going to put it all back in the same way anyway, I'm not going to hide it again. Play this game, you know?
So is that useful in getting you into that kind of discipline, the attitude of this is going to happen, I have to deal with it?
Yeah, that's just discipline, and that's also like giving you like a sense of humour as well. Like the army comes, you've got to have a sense of humour in this job. Even like when you're doing the fitness and stuff, you've got people screaming at you, you just got to just have that sense of humour just to crack on and just laugh it off and stuff. That's the basics how you're doing there, just give you a bit of sense of humour. Bit of self-discipline and stuff as well, like, okay, fine, this is what we've got to do and stuff. Do play jump and we say how high and stuff like that, but yeah, it's all a good crack, I loved it. Yeah, it was fun.
As you're coming to the end of that training, do you do any kind of preparations for your passing out parade?
Yeah, I remember we were doing, this one weren't marching. Basketball was all a lot of marching and stuff, the families come and watch. This one I did in Catterick, we were doing like a mini section attack, like a mini battle with like blank ammunition and stuff, and like smoke and all that good sort of stuff, like enemy and stuff like that. There's a few vehicles chucked in and stuff, just to give the fans and that just a bit of an insight what the infantry is about. And there's a presentation at the end for a marching shoot, which we've done like a week before and stuff. And people that won the marching shoot will go out and collect the medals and stuff, and we'll speak to the colonel of ITC and they'll give you a little chat and stuff, and then that was it, and then you just go off to the bar and pound booze, you know? So, yeah, that's your buzzing though, is you think, well, that's it now, all the training's done. Time for the good stuff, right?
Obvious question, but I take it a big sense of achievement at that stage, is there?
That sense of achievement, I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy by far. I mean, some people struggle in different sort of areas and stuff. There's areas I struggle in and stuff, but you just help each other through it. I mean, that's what it was all about, and it's still about teamwork, this job is. But the sense of achievement afterwards, I mean, my granddad was still there, and to see his face, to see how proud he was and stuff, was good. To see how my family, how proud they were as well, because I was a bit of a jack the lad when I was young. Right. Used to be a pain in the butt to my mother and stuff, but yeah. The sense of achievement and to see how proud they are, that's good.
And they see, do they see the change in you?
Yeah, they go, oh my God, you should join the army ages ago. The change in you, the self-discipline. I mean, like at home before, I was like, well, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, but like going back and just doing everything without even questioning it and stuff like that. Just helping out and stuff with the family and stuff. So yeah, there's a massive change, and you see it in everyone. Like all the parents are like, oh God, I can't believe how much they've actually grown up to be a man and stuff. Even though we're like young. I think I was only about 20 after training. It's to see how much I've grown up in the last year. Good for my mum, it's fucking.
So, next thing I take it is a posting down to the unit, is it?
Yeah, I went straight to Northern Ireland, Londonderry. So my regiment was out there.
What was the situation when you went out there?
Just pity people, really. I got thrown in the deep end, to be honest. Went out there, obviously. Didn't really know a lot about Northern Ireland, only from like some of the stuff I see on the news and stuff. But what I heard of it was pretty damn quiet. I can remember probably about a month before I joined the battalion, the actual guard room got bombed and stuff. Like there was a bomb explosion in the guard room. But the situation out there, yeah, it was pretty quiet. I didn't really know a lot about it. I was going in blind, sort of thing. And I just learned from the guys around there, just telling me, like, where you need to be and what time you need to be. I mean, you need to, when you get there, so I mean, there's some guys getting in, they're still, like, it was 17 and stuff, there was two or three guys at 17. You can't go out on the streets at that age, that was the rule over there. You have to wait till your 18th birthday and then you're allowed to go out and do the patrolling and stuff.
So when you'd arrived, though, you hadn't had a chance to, had you gone straight out there, so you hadn't had any chance to get into the battalion here at all?
No, well, that's where we were based out there.
So it was straight into a tour?
Yeah, two-year stint out there, so that was, they were doing a tour for me. 98, 99. I got out there in 2000, and I was out there till 2001.
So when you arrive, what's the kind of process of arriving in a situation like that?
it was alright, actually. It was quite relaxed. I can remember on the plane ride, it was like, Northern Ireland, the stories you hear and stuff, and okay, this is serious, we're going straight to Northern Ireland. I mean, there's people going out to Germany, and I was like, well, that's nice, and we're going to Northern Ireland and stuff. But an operational duty. It was good to get there. I mean, the routine's the same. They'll show you around. I actually met up with my career sergeant who recruited me. He was then a kind of sergeant and stuff. But I was actually in his company and that, so it was good to see him again. He's like, yeah, welcome to Derry, mate. So I had him, he showed us around and stuff, like, showed us the facilities and stuff. The thing is, we get there, we're not going to go straight out on the streets or nothing. We're going to get broken in generally.
So how did he do that? Introducing you slowly to the sort of...
let's see, if we get there, you have to go away. I think it might have been Port Rush and stuff. Before you go out on the streets, you need to do a week's course where it's law and armed conflict and stuff like that. You know, the rules of the white card, what to do on the patrol and stuff, if you're getting fired at or if you see someone and stuff. All that sort of like army rules of engagement, you have to do that sort of course for a week before you can even go out on the streets. So I think about a week after I was there, after getting settled in and stuff, we went away, Port Rush I think it was, or Port Stanley, no not Port Stanley, Port Rush, or Ballykinlan, somewhere like that, down by the coast. We've done a week stint there, obviously you get tested and all that at the end, and then come back, and then I remember that was me, I was straight on the patrol like the next day. In a vehicle and foot patrol.
Can you tell me about, you know, vehicle patrols, how they were organised when you were in Londonderry?
Yeah, if you go on them, there's usually four ops. To do all that, there's loop ops one, we call it. That's vehicles and foot patrol, and you're on that for about a month. Ops one, I went straight on. It's usually a two vehicle patrol. Obviously, you have the driver, the commander, and in the back you have two private soldiers, which are the top colour. And obviously you have the same in their second vehicle. All the vehicles kitted out with ECM, so obviously nothing can explode in and around the vehicle and stuff. You go out and just do general patrols. It's more like just showing a presence, that's all it was. I mean, there's certain areas we can go into. You drive out in around like the little town, like in Derry and stuff. In main roads and that, you drive around and stuff. When you come out to built up areas, that's when you usually get out of the vehicles. Obviously, split up in a staggered formation and stuff. Just the drivers will be left in the vehicles. And you just do a walk for like a couple of minutes, just to show our presence and stuff. Talk to like the civilians and that, if they want to talk to you and stuff like that. Just to show our presence. Then we'd usually get back in the vehicles and we'd stop off and go to either like, the police, stop off in the police station and stuff like to the Irish police and stuff. So they usually help you out with the patrols and stuff as well. And just see what the general feeling is in and around the area you're in and if there's any what might be danger and stuff like that. And
would you vary your routes?
Yeah. Vary routes, like, how do you mean by that?
Just by not going the same route, saying yeah, that sort of thing.
Sorry. Yeah, it will be changed. I mean, the ops officers will always plan the route. Have a briefing before we go out anyway, so they change it up, wouldn't do like the same pattern, so you just know that it's going to happen.
And where were you based, and you know, we don't say which company you went to?
I went to D Company, which was a support company, and I and went straight into that water team, which was quite a good thing, because we turned up not where we were lucky to come from the decoys. Most people would go to the rifle company first, like for a couple of years. More decoys is more of a senior company within the battalion. It's changed a bit now, but most people go straight to the rifle company and then see how a rifle company is. And to come to D company was more of a perk, like, you know, you go to D company and get treated like an animal or something. And yeah, it was true. I mean, turning up was just brilliant. I mean, straight into like support company, more platoon and stuff. And yeah, you get left alone. You constantly think someone's going to come in and constantly check on you and stuff like that, because you're just doing that training and stuff. But there you are, young man, on your own room and stuff.
And where were you based? What was your accommodation? Where was the...
I can't remember the camp's name.
But it was a camp, was it?
Like army camp. Obviously you have the old guard protection and stuff like that, what camp we're at now and stuff, and just normal like accommodation blocks and stuff. Quite a big camp, I can remember, and all the way around it as well you had, like the watchtowers and stuff.
Sangers, is it?
Sangers, yeah. Like the Sangers. No, I couldn't think of that. Yeah, the Sangers and stuff. So there's constant protection all the time, you know.
And were you given any information on, you know, you mentioned some areas you weren't supposed to go in. Were you told, you know, these areas you don't go in, these are the main threats, these are the people you're likely to encounter?
We're on one side of the river, and you have the River Derry, and it's split all the other half side. The other side, like, of the river was the local areas of the local terrorists, like IRA and stuff like that. Never went over there. That's where all the trouble, where the parrots, where they were and stuff. That was outside of the river. I mean, like I said, I didn't know a lot about Ireland and what was going on out there, but what I gathered from that all stopped probably after the parrots were there. No, the only time we went across that river was a place called Victor 7, which was a guard place, and it's bang right into the middle of the city. There's all sangers around it and stuff like that, and you do a lot of couple of weeks like stint out there. There was that place, and that was probably the only time I went across there. I mean, you wouldn't really do foot patrols and stuff. There's areas you shouldn't go in and stuff like that. Went across there like with your uniform, where in the army vehicles and stuff like that, while you're doing the work and stuff. I mean, to see Londonderry, when you had time down, you were allowed out of camp. You're allowed to go into the city, but only on that side, like a good side of what we were on. Couldn't they, like, go across to the other side as a city? It's like, you could go there, obviously, if you were on work and stuff like that. But yeah, I remember it being quite rough. That's where quite a lot of the riots and stuff was.
But generally, would it be the fact that you wouldn't go there because what you weren't doing was provoking the local population?
It's just a big no-no, really. That was one of the main things was said. Like, if you're going to go out, you stay this side. Don't go across that side. Obviously, there was other stories and stuff as well, people getting kidnapped and stuff like that.
How did you take into it? Obviously, you've gone straight from your training into this environment, was that?
To be honest with you, I weren't that bad at all. I used to love going out on patrols and stuff. Vehicle patrols, foot patrols. But yeah, this is what it's all about, you know. I was ready for it. Didn't come as a shock at all.
Was it interesting learning all the new bits and, you know, what you had to do and doing your job?
Yeah, learning all the new bits and stuff, like how to interact with people and stuff like that, and just walking around and knowing you've got a weapon with full ammunition around you and stuff as well. I was like, well, this is for real. Just felt good. Just give me like a bit of power, you know, that's what it was. I mean, I was a young lad. I mean, now I wouldn't be bothered, you know, we're not getting it, just saying all stuff. But yeah, as a young lad, at 20 with a weapon, with magazines and walking around, like, you're a killer machine, aren't you, if anything's going to happen and stuff, so yeah, I felt quite powerful to do that.
And what were you wearing, what uniform and kit did you have with you?